Welcome to this week's edition of the Wipro Cybersecurity by Cybersecurist podcast. I'm Evan Schumann. Some areas of technology are more secure than others, but then there are areas where security is stunningly challenging, such as, obviously, IoT, cloud, home offices, etc. But then you take it up a big notch, and you've got AI, the motherload of cybersecurity nightmares. It lacks transparency. Many of its key elements are secret. Where the data comes from or goes is often a black hole. Open source licensing is rampant. AI regulations are popping up all over the globe. With all of that going on, how can an enterprise CISO navigate the AI risk successfully? To find out, we have with us today Josie George, the Wipro General Manager for Emerging Technologies. Is secure AI possible? What is the biggest AI challenge dealing with it?
The foundations of security or the process around security are going to remain the same in terms of how people approach the problem of AI and security. Like anything new, there are nuances that we have to deal with respect to an emerging tech and its the risks that are associated with it. The difference with AI is, I think, the implications and the impact that it can have on human life as we know it is immense. And the impact that it can play in different facets of our existence is just potentially very high. Whoever takes the pole position in AI, and I say whoever, it could be companies, it could be nations, and they can somewhat pretend to play God in the future, in the sense of predicting human behavior from past actions, which we're doing quite a lot today, but also replicating human creativity within what has been already done. As we move towards artificial general intelligence, I think that would dramatically change the picture moving forward.
How should CISOs deal with the issues surrounding responsible AI, morality, and trying to get the algorithms to somehow do the right thing?
The implications around AI are far-reaching because it has impact from a human rights perspective, privacy, fairness, safety, right to life, things like that. There are issues around moral code. It's a tricky subject. What is morally right that an AI system should and can do? And it applies in civil and military situations. And it's going to be a reflection of us as a society on the technical robustness, the trustworthiness of it. The answer to that goes to how can we as enterprises, as we build out AI systems, as a CISO and other stakeholders that are involved, how can we make it technically robust while also addressing other dimensions of AI governance around responsible AI itself?
Standards efforts with AI are absolutely in flux and nascent right now. That said, where do standards efforts stand today?
The standards are just beginning to emerge around how to test these systems. Various types of AI. AI itself is just like cloud. There are different forms of AI. Standards are evolving to test them, to monitor them as they go out into production from a security standpoint. I don't think we fully understand all the implications from a security perspective. We are all getting our act together. But I think the first thing that most CISOs can do is to first assess the extent of the problem, right? What is the attack surface with respect to AI that they are carrying, and what can they do with the known attack vectors, the known threats, and address them as they move forward? I think that's the first step that people can take.
One of the biggest problems is the lack of visibility, and there are two elements of lack of visibility certainly in generative AI. The one element is you don't know how the system is being trained, what it's being trained on, which speaks to how much you can rely on the output. But then the other side is you're putting inquiries in and it's learning from your system. So you don't know where your thoughts that you put into the system are coming out, and you don't know what is going into the answers. So without knowing those two things, how can you make sure that your intellectual property is protected and that no damage is being done.
I know. It is a troubling challenge that most organizations are going to face. If you were to break down the decisions around leverage of AI systems, most people would end up buying a system or capability that one of the large providers is going to offer. Very few companies, except probably some of the bigger ones that have deep pockets, are going to develop any foundational models on their own. And the other side is that other than leveraging large language models that are offered by hyperscalers and the large players, we're also going to see enterprises embedding these capabilities into applications, and that could be coming from third-party services. So in that sense, what you just outlined, the challenge around provenance of, you know, what has gone into training these models, and then what you are providing into it, into them, and what implications they have with respect to how that information gets learned by the models and how it's going to be leveraged outside of it are troubling questions. I think the first step that people have to deal with here is to lay out some principles around how these systems are going to be leveraged and policies around their usage. You know, what use cases are we going to leverage large language models for? This is a tool at the end of the day. It's not an end in itself. And so people have to evaluate the cost benefit as well as the risks that are associated with the leverage of these technologies, and then build out countermeasures that they can potentially do. And there are countermeasures around the question that you asked that are slowly coming up. And there are different patterns that can be applied from a security standpoint, including the classic one, which is if you want to sit and police what goes in and out, one of the ways is to sit in between as a proxy. And that's a model that's been applied in security from across the entire OSI stack, whether it's in the network layer, you have firewalls that are policing how packets go in and out. And if you look at email, there are email gateways, there's content filters and things like that that have come up in the past. And even in the case of AI LLM-based systems, you could use the proxy pattern to somewhat address some of those concerns. So you could, in theory, build out your own LLM or leverage that's something that's available commercially, to which you could feed in a policy in natural language and say, I would like to, you know, stop this kind of input going outwards, or I would like to stop this kind of output coming back inwards, and have that proxy sort of play the policing role for your enterprise. Of course, each of those approaches have their own pros and cons. There are certain situations you cannot apply them in, but you want to make a start somewhere.
One of the other issues with generative AI, and this particularly addresses SOC strategy, is that they want to leverage generative AI as a defense tool to assess and analyze the vast number of attack attempts that they're seeing and help filter it down so the SOC can effectively deal with it. AI has been used for that in general for years, machine learning in particular, but generative AI takes it up a step. That said, generative AI has an annoying tendency to hallucinate, in other words, make up stuff. So how much can you rely on generative AI to help defend the enterprise against attacks when its reliability is, well, let's just say suspect?
You're right. I mean, first of all, classic AI has been leveraged under the hoods with many of our controls that have been around for some time, a few years now. Security has been probably one of the early adopters of classic AI technologies for classification and looking for that needle in the haystack when it comes to security, you know, attacks, when you're dealing with large asset bases. With generative AI, I think the potential for leverage is immense from a defense standpoint. And it starts with trying to be proactive. Today, getting quality threat intelligence is always a challenge because you get a lot of noise, a lot of garbage sometimes, which is a very difficult process within security operations centers. Do something effective with that. But with the use of generative AI, you could improve the value of the insights that you get from public sources around potential attacks that could come your way. And I think that is where it fundamentally starts. But there are so many other scenarios where in a SOC environment, you could elevate the role played by many of your engineers to do more advanced work and leave the run-of-the-mill daily BAU activities to an agent that's built on generative AI and get that done. And this is particularly relevant in the environment where it's very difficult to get good cyber skills, very difficult to retain them, and there's only that much in the market. Now, having said that, it is a problem when it comes to things like hallucinations and stuff like that. You have the time dimensionality problem that people are dealing with based on how much of data has been, till what date the data has been fed in for training purposes. People are getting around that using techniques like RAG to do in-time training, fine-tuning, and things like that. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it is still unreliable, and you cannot take the human out of the loop yet. So even in the context of SOX, the way I see this going to be working out, and you already see the signs of that. You know, most of the large vendors are releasing some kind of a co-pilot for security operation centers for the analysts who are working in the SOX. Microsoft has released a security co-pilot, and so some of the other vendors. And clearly from the roadmap perspective, when I talk to a lot of our partners, I see that as a common pattern. So they are going to offer that co-pilot experience where for the SOC analysts to alleviate their roles and do much more intelligent stuff on their own and leave some of the repeatable tasks to a co-pilot or an agent, but then validate it, right? Have a human in the loop to validate it. It will still mean some mode of rework, but I think the benefits will be better.
For this week's edition of the Wipro Cybersecurity by Cybersecurist podcast, I'm Evan Schumann. Have a safe and secure week.